And welcome to another episode of High on Healthy here on CannabisRio.com, and really appreciate all of you joining us. So our next guest, she helps thought leaders create sustainable businesses that they can lead from anywhere. She's been named a genius entrepreneur by Fortune Magazine, and Forbes considers her one of the top businesswomen. And going back, celebrating 10 years, the organization that she helped to co-found, Women Grow, has been around and supporting female cannabis leaders. And within the three years, she led Women Grow to connect to 75,000 entrepreneurs in 60 cities and earned 6 billion media impressions. And she has been, you know, a cornerstone into the cannabis industry, is also leading the way for women, but now moving on into another realm, another phase into the career, as she is a teacher now with Radical Silence Meditation Retreats. We're going to learn about more of that in just a moment. I'm here with Jasmine Hupp. Jasmine, thanks for being on with us, and welcome back to Cannabis Radio.
Thank you so much for having me back. Congratulations on being on for almost 10 years now.
It's been a journey. And I always wonder if we feel like that cannabis has actually really made that much of a progress. I mean, obviously, state by state, yes. But when it comes to the overall goal, difficult. And, you know, on the other programs we do here, Blunt Business Grassroots Marketing, I got to tell you that I just feel like, you know, it's another 3 to 5 years for actual federal oversight, legalization, decriminalization, whatever it's going to be, because we need Congress to be pretty much steadfast in one majority, polarizing one direction or the other. But I still think that cannabis is a bipartisan issue. We wait. And for those that want to get happy talk out there and think that, oh, it's going to happen in the next year, or they just need to continue to talk about it because it makes them feel good, it makes them feel like, oh, what's going to happen? No. Because we also know that in the areas of plant medicine, in the world of psychedelics, we're seeing that it's a much faster ramp up for new normalities, for new treatments out there. And there are a lot of cannabis companies we've noticed that they've been diversifying their portfolio and branching out into psychedelics. So for you to go ahead and, you know, continue, it's still plant medicine at the end of the day. But within cannabis, there is a threshold and there is room for others out there. We recommend the same thing for even for ourselves. 2 years ago, we started doing psychedelic programming. And one of the newest incarnations is this High on Healthy program, because we want to open up the door to all plant medicine and all treatments that also incorporate to that. And meditation, I think what you're doing right now in terms of what you've mentioned in your story is this, that you felt like you burned out and you took 3 years in. You were taking weekly psychedelic experiences as a gateway to meditation and neuroplasticity. And this rest helped you to quit prescription drugs, learn to cook and become a yoga teacher, helped you just explore and just, you know, a whole lifestyle change. And it helped you rebalance your mind, body, and spirit to create a sustainable lifestyle. And you lost 40 pounds as a result. So like a real transformative change for yourself. Congratulations on that. So take me into what was it that prompted the need to escape cannabis and to kind of rediscover yourself.
Absolutely. Well, the year is about, 2017, 2018. We're 3 or 4 years old into Women Grow. And just there's so much excitement. There's so much activity. And I definitely hit burnout / maybe a spiritual enlightenment moment. I'm still unpacking those years for myself. And I sold the company to Dr. Shaolin Personal, psychedelic and healing cannabis meditative journey, which included weekly deep dives into different psychedelics, going out and becoming a yoga teacher, and really, you know, for the first time getting to use all these amazing tools that we had been fighting to give people access to for myself. And as you said, I came out of it now wanting to share that path with other folks. And I lost 40 pounds on the side of it too, which was nice as well.
So, I mean, I know within our circles here of what we do, aside from Cannabis Radio, we also have another network that's in the tech space. And there was somebody we knew for a long time that was very prominent in affiliate marketing. And then she just dropped everything, went almost like on a holistic journey, moved to Hawaii, just dropped everything. had to do it because she felt the burnout as well. And she did find her way back into the industry again. But again, that time just to go ahead and just reflect and just say, life just can't be this. It just can't be that burdensome, just, you know, trying to keep up with the time and keep up with what you did. Like, I mean, no matter what, Women's Grow continues to be formidable today. So, I mean, you always get to go and say, listen, but the legacy that you created there remains, but I need to do something else. You're young. You want to go and say, okay, what else is there for me to do? Because I need to be able to enjoy life. Because again, we, as a society, I mean, how much time or money do we have to take vacations? Even for myself, rarely take vacations. And I should, because I know I've almost felt burnout before. And right before pandemic, I was doing that, but still it's a matter of, you know, it's all those little things that we all have, like, okay, I'm going to do this on my own. You know, what support system, am I going to have a support system to be with me that will, you know, follow along with the other journey? Or are they going to try to talk me out of it? Like, what was it about doing this? Was this on your own? Did you feel like you had any input that you took or did not take?
I was doing largely journeys on my own, and then also experiences and kind of festivals and parties and the larger psychedelic scene in San Francisco and California. Mm-hmm. So I got to do it all the ways and all the different parties and all the different festivals, a couple different continents. Mm-hmm. I would say, in some ways, I wasted a lot of time. You know, there's a lot of times where we get so into the journey that we just want to journey and journey and journey and journey. Right. And so we're not really integrating the information. And so there was a period of time where I was doing, let's say, a lot of work, but my day-to-day life wasn't necessarily getting better. I wasn't being less triggerable. I wasn't being calmer. I wasn't being more in control of my nervous system. So I was just going, 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 going. Because, you know, I attacked psychedelics in the same way that I attacked, you know, entrepreneurship, or you attack getting into college. You know, you just go, 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 go. And then you learn your lessons.
Right.
And you get stopped and you're like, oh, this is what I need to stop and really start to understand my experience instead of just keep doing it.
With psychedelics, there's been a lot of talk and a lot of discussion. I mean, obviously, there's been a lot of feedback from mainstream media that have said, well, you know, when people are getting into these things, it's on their own. There's no, they're always complaining about integration and the lack of, you know, well, why are you doing it this route? Why aren't you just going to a doctor that can go and prescribe you something? What was it about the experience that you had going through doctors, conventional medicine, and you felt like it was hitting a brick wall and you had to make something else where it was much more holistic, much more transformative, much more alternative? When did you realize that you wanted to go a different route? And I mean, obviously you might've explored these things before, but what was it that made you say, okay, enough, I'm going this way?
It's me that system had a lot of strengths and a lot of weaknesses. And one was my grandmother dying in her mid-80s, where her mothers had lived to nearly 100. And so I thought, really, like, my grandmother with modern medical care and modern nutrition and, you know, the kind of the comforts of life, she should have had a longer life. And that made me realize, okay, there's something about this equation about women and work. And you know, my grandmother, she never had to work outside the home and yet was incredibly stressed with six children and supporting an executive, you know, husband and all of those things. So the death of my grandmother that really made me go, okay, there's something missing about how we're approaching health and sustainability. And, you know, we have more medicine than ever, and yet people are sicker than ever. And then the second experience that really made me take a break was being an entrepreneur myself and just hitting that wall really hard. Right. And being with a huge group of other women and men who were hitting that wall hard. You've been talking to cannabis executives for 10 years now, so I'm sure you've met a lot of exhausted stories. Right. And, you know, even for me, you know, I have a lot of stamina, I have a lot of energy, and even I couldn't stay in cannabis full time for the last 10 years because it is such a roller coaster. It requires you to have a better understanding and capacity of yourself and your nervous system, of your health, or you will burn out or you will get sick. And that's what I saw a lot of folks doing.
mental exhaustion. Plus, I also think, and I don't want to speak badly of anyone, but I also think just some of the people that come into cannabis and their intentions are a bit misleading. And I just feel like there are some people that make it much more difficult to be in the industry. And not just to mention the pushback we get on a regular basis from so many large entities that want to go and just, you know, say, oh, well, there's still some stigma. There's still some other phrases I'm not going to use because I feel like they're taboo. But, you know, it starts with an R and an M. I'm not going to use those words. But it's like all that continues to be a thing. It's not even close to what it is. But it's like to keep pushing back constantly and the constant obstacles there are from a business standpoint, from a cultivator standpoint, from all of it. But you don't feel that way at all when you're going into, you know, meditation and the psychedelics, into plant medicine, holistic, everything like that. It's another world, another realm. And it's also a thing where it's not that hard to go and see that transition. So for you, have you had other people that have seen what you've done and see how much better you're feeling right now? Have you gotten a lot of outreach from those in the industry that say, Jasmine, I love what you did. Can I follow the same path you did?
Yeah, that's interesting. I get folks who they'll see a photo of me, like a current photo of me, and they've met me a couple of years ago, so they know what I look like in person. And you can the folks that have had the time to do a lot of this self work, you kind of see it in their eyes a little bit. Or maybe they knew me when I was really overweight, and now they see that, you know, I'm in a straight size body now, and they're like, oh, how did you do that? And so folks came and were nice enough to ask. And so we created a 5-day weekend meditation retreat that lets them try out all of these holistic health techniques that I've gotten to practice over the last couple of years. And it's been just a really amazing transformative experience for the folks who've gotten to come through. It's a combination of silent meditation, guided meditation, Kundalini yoga, yin yoga, and then all of this detoxifying yet delicious plant-based food recipes created for us.
Fantastic. So now that you're going to doing this, specifically, take me a little bit inside of actually what the program, 5-day program entails in terms of what are they doing? I mean, is it kind of more of a retreat, more of a resort kind of feel to it? So like daily activities, daily routines and procedures that you're doing. Take me a little bit inside of what encompasses the whole retreat experience.
So the Radical Silence retreats are very unique and very special. It's a 5-day retreat of which about half of it you're going to be silent. So I've done a million retreats. I'm sure a lot of folks have done retreats. And what I used to do as kind of a not a great retreat person is instead of going on a retreat to work on myself, I would get distracted by whatever kind of like the loudest thing at the retreat was, whether that's like the loudest person or the loudest teacher or the weather, whatever it is. And so I'd get really focused on that and, you know, work on my classmates instead of work on myself. And so when I found silent retreats where you can't talk to anybody else, you can't, you know, distract yourself, that was a huge unlock for me. And that's what we've incorporated in these Radical Silence retreats. Is the majority of the retreat, you'll have an instructor guiding you who is speaking, but you're not going to be speaking. The participants are going to be speaking to each other. And you really have to sit with your own thoughts and sit with your own feelings instead of maybe eating those feelings away or talking those feelings away.
What's very interesting is now you are still very much active on social media. So whether it's Instagram or LinkedIn or YouTube, you still very much stay active and still stay connected. But one of those things that I think about is that that's one of those things that's a detriment to everybody out there because of the fact that in social media, the pressures that it creates, that whole thought process of, it's not like it was when we were growing up where, you know, we just kind of admired people that were, you know, in our neighborhood or just like lived in the city. It's like, oh, I'd love to be able to do what they're doing. Now we get these delusions of grandeur of like, well, we need to live like all this because we're fear of missing out, FOMO. And there's that going on as well. But the thing is, you continue to be on social media. And I would imagine that is something that is, I mean, for some people, they just don't know how to handle. I still use it as a marketing tool. It's always been like that to me. It's not my way of being personally connected to everyone. And I feel like I need to get and share my life story with everyone. So it's very limited on what I even put out there. I'm more like, I more or less look at myself as like a stage character. Celebrities, like, okay, there's only so much openness I give out there. I do more of my podcasting and what I do independent of here. But social media is a different, it's just a whole totally different bag. So talk to me about the transition of that, still be able to go ahead and connect with the world, because it's also, you're doing it for a purpose of just showing, you know, it is showing your life path and showing how much better it's gotten and how much better you feel about it. And you just want to share with the world.
Social media is a minefield. It's very, kind of like an unfair playing field. It's not getting any fairer, I'll say.
No.
It's not getting more trustworthy. It's not becoming a better use of my time, unfortunately. And so I'm working away from the types of social media that are about kind of like popping, you know, are about riding the popularity trends. Mm-hmm. And right now I've been focusing on filming full-length yin yoga videos for YouTube. And those are not popular. Let me be clear. If I right. was doing social media the way I'm supposed to do social media, I would not put out hour and a half yoga classes on YouTube. But those are really the practices that I love and I want to make accessible to everyone. And so I'm using social media to put out what I think is, you know, the best things in my life. And it's not super popular right now. And I'm okay with that. I would rather represent the cultural changes that I want to represent than to worry as much about what's getting clicked on.
Now, one thing, you've done quite a bit of podcasting yourself, been featured a lot of podcasts. And one of the areas you definitely do talk about is using psychedelics, as you did today, as a gateway to meditation for yourself. And what I want to go and find out is, what is it that you do besides what you're doing with the retreats? And we're going to get back to the retreats in a moment, because you have a 5-day session that's coming up in June. We want to go and talk about it very shortly. But what I want to go and ask about is, what is it that you've seen that has helped to complement the meditation, helped to complement the yoga and what you're doing right now to just live more free?
Well, I'll brag that coming up in July, it will be my 10-year anniversary of not paying rent, not being on a lease.
Wow.
So when you say I'm living free, I'm living very, very free.
Literally. That's
literally
awesome.
Free. And right. There have been many ups and downs in that journey. And I'm super grateful to all the folks that have housed me along that journey, obviously. Yeah. You know, I'm raised by hippies. I was raised in a motorhome traveling across the United States. I went to 13 different grade schools. And so I really, get to live at the edge of freedom. And I know that for some folks, I'm kind of a role model or someone that they can look to, someone like, oh, I want to live a rent-free life, or I want to live a location agnostic life. And I'm lucky enough that I chose a lot of digital skills to pair with my teaching skills and to pair with my speaking skills. And so I'm able to teach kind of wherever I want in the world through the magic of Zoom and the magic of having YouTube videos. And I completely forgot your question, talking about how free I am.
What is it you use besides meditation? What is it in terms of psychedelics? What is it that you've been able to, that you've worked with that has been part of your regimen, like that you or have done to help complement in meditation and what you're doing in your lifestyle?
Absolutely. So I'm a big fan of having a daily routine, you know, and I just explained, you know, my life has no specific location. I have no specific hours to my job. I may not even have a specific job today. And so creating my own container for myself is really important, because I don't have a job or a kid or something like that that creates that structure. And so for me, that's turned into a morning routine. And what I do is I love to get up. I drink warm water with fresh lemon. I drink rooibos chai tea with local honey. And then I start a Kundalini yoga set and I practice Kundalini yoga and meditation. And then I get out an ukulele and I play and sing on my ukulele for 15 minutes, which is something I've been doing for about 6 or 7 years. And I'm still not very good. But I think it's really important to have a pursuit that you'll never finish. You know, something right. you can just always, it keeps my ego in check to always be trying to learn something that I feel like I'm not very good at.
Sure.
And so for me, that's playing the ukulele and I get to practice some singing. And then there's always like a reading or a journaling component for that okay. after that for me. So a little bit like a moving, learning, breathing, singing. That's my favorite kind of routine.
I'm looking at a Complex magazine article. Back when you were named one of the 15 women, most powerful women in the weed industry. And you and, of course, you were in very good company, let's just say. And, you know, you donned the power suit. You were, at this point in 2014, you were mentioning how that you were holding networking events in 45 cities across the United States and Canada, and you were connecting with others. And you're making, you know, shaking a lot of hands. You're getting, meeting a lot of new people. But it is something where to be said, it's like, it's that, you know, it's the networking environment. It's almost like a corporate environment. It's just almost that you're kind of like just in a place and you can't really move around too much. You're just, a lot of people are depending on you. You're being dependent on. And I can imagine that can be very taxing. And this part where, I mean, for me, the one thing that kind of helps me where I'm at right now is that I went to that corporate setting and just being, you know, the demand of what there is and not feeling appreciated and not feeling like, you know, I could just kind of unplug whenever I want. Because I could do that if I want to, but I enjoy what I do. But this is what you can do. You got to unplug and, you know, you can tell the difference in how you are now compared to before because it is, I don't think, would you ever see yourself going back into that? Back in that realm again, or do you feel like this change is for good?
Oh, that's a really good question. Somebody asked me, like, do you miss being on the cover of magazines? And my immediate response was, no, I don't miss it at all. when it's something you haven't experienced before, you know, you're kind of taught to chase it. But, you know, what I talked about a lot in the transition of Women Grow is I was really chasing external validation. And yeah. It wasn't that, you know, in my deepest heart of hearts that being on the cover of a magazine was going to make me happy until the day I die. It was, you know, just an artifact of the external validation of the outside world telling me I was doing a good job.
Right.
And some of that's great. And some of that, you know, leads us to choose altruistic paths. But at the end of the day, I was never going to be happy chasing what other folks kind of projected success was for me.
Plus, there's always been the thought process of like, well, if you're a woman in the space, if you're, you know, if you're a person of color in the space, all this stuff like, well, you need to keep reaching, keep chasing the dream. Like, okay, well, that chase gets tiring. Plus, on top of that, I mean, you don't get the chance to go and look back and Jasmine, this, you can look back and see what you did. Again, your legacy still precedes you. I think you did a great job out there. And I think a lot of people very much respect you. And if you were to come back into the space, I think people would very much welcome you with open arms and speak highly of you because yeah, I don't think there was anything you ever said. I mean, I never saw anything that made me feel like there was anything less than excellence coming from you and what you did at Women Grow. I think you can always look back and you can always feel proud of what you did and what you, but again, no matter how successful and how well you did that you might not even recognize yourself, it didn't feel like you. You didn't feel comfortable. So like you said, that chase for success or for validation or for purpose, the purpose was somewhere else. And if you needed to go and make that change, then that's what you did. And that's much more, that takes a lot more bravery than it does just going through the grind every day.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a wild ride. And, you know, sometimes you're like, well, I need to make the biggest impact possible. I've got to do the largest network, the biggest thing, the most important projects. And I loved that journey, and it's an amazing journey. And now I work with three people at a time for 5 days. And I love that too.
Let's talk about that. Okay. So I see on the website, Jasmine Hupp, and now you got another spelling, JazminHupp, JazminHupp.com. And just look under Silent Retreats on the top of the website. You'll see Radical Silence, a 5-day meditation retreat, June 13th through the 17th as we're recording this program. And you, along with Miley Blake, will be teaching this course. And you've already had a couple of people already talk about this is the best 3 days of your adult life. And another guest saying that they've learned to love themselves for the first time. So this is coming up. And for those that decide to go ahead and make this change, talk to me about the idea of going forward and saying, okay, I want to go ahead and move forward with this. Why should they go ahead and make the appointment to go ahead and make it to the retreat?
This is one of those crossroads in folks' lives. They tell me where they can just keep going, or they can take a moment, pause, and really reflect on where they are and what's next for them. And that's what this weekend was created for, is folks to, you're off your phone for 3 days. You're out of contact with your friends and family for 3 of the days. And so for me, these retreats were the first time that I actually had the spaciousness to even reflect about who I was in the moment, what had happened, and to really start integrating all of the lessons that I've been just rocketing through.
Also, I want to make mention of, I know it's on the website, also the retreat centers the feminine and it's taught by queer women. Humans of all genders and sexualities are welcome to attend. Is there a cap on how many people can participate?
We are doing this with 2 instructors and 3 students at a time. So it is a very small custom retreat and really created out of I was running a much larger retreat program. It's very difficult in a large retreat program if you have a specific dietary need or a specific mm-hmm. health need. In my example, I was a medical cannabis patient, and they're not allowed in most of these large medication programs. And so this is one of the only meditation retreats that you can go to as a medical cannabis patient and not have to hide that.
Now, I noticed that somebody said that it was about 3 days, but now these are now 5-day retreats. So besides the actual sessions that are going to go on and what you're doing, how much time would you say there is for, say, like support groups or just real interaction and networking with others?
It's basically the day you arrive, you're interacting with folks, and a day and a half on the end, you're interacting with folks. And then the 2.5 days in the middle, you're going to be silent and just working on yourself.
And what you could tell me a feedback from those who have experienced the retreat, you know, what's the most common thing you've heard about that has really changed once they come out of that retreat?
I think the most common change that folks describe is a change in both their level of anxiety, so both the amount of fear and anxiety they're feeling, as well as being able to respond differently when those anxious or fearful thoughts come up again. And what we really focus on in meditation is being with whatever comes up and giving a little bit of space to that so you can choose how to respond to what's coming up to you, for you, instead of just reacting blindly.
And for those that might not make this retreat, what will be the best way for them to go and know, will there be future retreats and how often do they happen?
If you're unable to come join us in June, we'll be in upstate New York, about an hour outside Albany at Kimby's Retreat Center, which is an amazing cannabis-friendly space. You can also visit my website, jasminehupp.com, and get onto my mailing list, and I'll email you the next time we have another retreat planned. Hop over onto my YouTube and try some yin yoga. You can do it with cannabis or without cannabis, but it's a really beautiful, slow, relaxing process that lets you sit with yourself and really be with your body. And that's available on YouTube. Just search for Jasmine Hupp.
Jasmine, thanks so much for keeping us up with your journey. And so glad that you're really in such a wonderful space right now. And congratulations. The one thing is, I also know is that people can still talk to you about other services, consulting, things like that. So you're still offering a little bit of a delve into what you've done for all these years. But it's really like you want to really share your passion. And that's what you're doing right now. And this is really great. Again, Radical Science, 5-day meditation retreat, June 13th through 17th. And the limited spaces, only 3. So if you want to get to it, again, the website, jasminehupp.com, JazminHupp.com. Jasmine, as always, thanks for being on. We always love to have you back.
Thank you so much. This has been great.
Man, I realized, no, that's a tourist trap. I need to go and change that again.
Yeah.
Something else. And I don't want to go and do for mm-hmm. it. Like, I almost did. It was going to be in December. It was a bad time. Like, oh, no, no. We're going to completely cancel it at the last minute. But yeah. All right, Jasmine, I'm going to leave it to it. But give me a little this weekend. You're going to get it posted, and I'll make sure you get a copy of it.
Yeah. Send me everything. I'll send it out to all the things.
All right. Sounds good. Anyway, you have a great rest of your day. Okay. Thanks so much. And it's great to catch up.
Bye.
Bye.